Soon after Napoleon's coup, thanks to his firm command of the military and the government, he secured peace agreements with many former enemies of France, including Prussia, Russia, and Britain. It was the first time Europe had been in peace for a decade. Napoleon was not through with war, however. In 1801, he invaded the former French colony of Saint-Domingue, present-day Haiti. Responding to the French Revolution's ideals, the island's African-American population rebelled against France and declared its own independence. However, Napoleon was determined to reclaim Saint-Domingue as the basis for a new French empire in the Americas. Nonetheless, like his campaign in Egypt, this attempt to gain control of territory outside of Europe ended in disaster. His troops suffered from the combination of a freed slave population, who had home court advantage, and widespread disease in the subtropical climate. The home front. Napoleon unites France, then Europe. While denying the slaves their liberties, Napoleon, at least on the surface, wanted to demonstrate that he was the chosen leader of the French people and not their dictator. In 1800, an election was held to approve the new constitution and Napoleon's all-powerful position as first consul. The constitution passed by a significant majority. Napoleon, as leader, did not want to return the country to the days of Louis XVI. At the same time, he ran a more moderate course, contrasted with Robespierre and the other leaders of the revolution of the past decade. Napoleon's banking, tax, and education systems made France more stable, while requiring that government officials were those best qualified for the job rather than those who had the most personal connections. At the same time, First Consul Bonaparte restored the position of the church with an agreement signed with the Pope. No longer would the church be run under the state, but neither would the church be allowed to run the state.